Well, once again, it's that Wednesday when there's a figure striding into the studio with a piece of paper that is entitled My Favorite Real Estate Market Update. It's just none other than Scott Blair. Welcome, Scott, from My Favorite Realty.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
So, here we go. We've just been talking a little bit about Glacier View, Joseph Davis up there, and a relatively small population as compared to maybe Palmer, Wasilla, and other parts of the borough. But over 20 years, his just guesstimate was a 50% increase in population. How long have you been here in Palmer?
In Palmer? Since 2018.
Okay. I'm going to calculate that to be 7 years.
Yep.
So do you have any sense of the increase in the population here in Palmer in the past 7 years?
Well, what I do see is the commercial increase on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. I see that every time I drive up and down that road.
Right.
And then I see the demographics changing. I don't know if I see more, other than the more, you know, new houses being built and people populating them, and that's typically in the Triangle area, not as much in the downtown Palmer area. But the demographics are changing because of the prices, how much it costs to live here now.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I wonder about that because we happened to take a bike ride out the Bogard Road bike path up to Colony Schools.
Yeah.
And I noticed, although I have driven that, being on a bike, you notice a bit
whole
more.
New neighborhoods.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of them. And
that was Wasilla a few years ago. Now it's happening here in Palmer.
Right. And so that's the area between, of course, I mean, between Palmer and the Colony Schools.
Yep.
And Colony School area has always been kind of a no person's land. I don't know. It's sort of in between Wasilla and Palmer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Midtown.
Yeah. It's sort of, but it's growing around it, as well as out toward Hatcher Pass. Again, a whole series of little subdivisions that are not so little, and housing being put up in all those places.
I probably said it the first month that I came in here that is the new residential zone for the valley. If you think about the Palmer Fishhook, Bogard, and then Wasilla Fishhook triangle that makes,
right.
That whole area in the middle there is just filling in with new houses. So some of that's considered Wasilla, some of it's considered Palmer. Even in the same neighborhood, there's houses with Palmer and Wasilla addresses, which is interesting to me. But that area for sure is growing up. That's
now,
where all the population is.
Do you have any sense? I was looking at it with my eyes that are somewhat adjusted to be able to say, well, that's a pretty expensive place, but I'm not sure how expensive. So I'm looking at houses that have what look like a standard configuration, but they're not tiny by any means, maybe even with two-car garage and so on. It looks, well, we've got figures on.
We do.
Here. So let's start with the Palmer and then see if we can extrapolate to say what's happening around us as well.
The median list price today is $540,000, which is funny. That might actually be my listing. I have one at
$540,000. Oh, okay.
And then the median list price of new listings is $462,000. So we'll probably see the median list price drop next week. Just because of that.
Okay.
But that's just the house, the middle house that's on the market for sale right now, the one in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Price per square foot average is $274 now. And I actually that's what I put on the 5-year graph today because I wanted to illustrate that four years ago, we were at $224. We've basically gone up $50 a square foot in the last 4 years.
Okay.
That's pretty massive growth. 78 days on market for the average, so just over 2 months, just under 3 months, I should say, 2.75. And then median days on market, 49. So the average can get skewed because of stuff that stays out there a lot longer.
Right.
So median days on market is actually better to look at for a gauge,
okay.
And that's right around 50. So we're just under 2 months is what I would expect to sell something if you price it right. There's a lot of them getting price decreases right now, but everybody's getting pretty cavalier with their prices. It's May. So
you might get a decrease, but it's one of those games, if you will,
right.
Where This would have cost you $300, so I'll reduce it to $290.
Right. Well, we'll list it at $325, and then we get offers at $315, right? So we're still getting pretty good prices for houses, but we're just listing them too high.
But the inventory, I'm going to jump to the inventory. That's continued to grow a bit.
It is. Thank goodness. Finally, this month, right? We are solidly into summer now. We had, 65 houses on the market last month, and now we've got 77. And we lost... We actually had a wash as far as how many sold, 14, and then how many new houses, new listings, also 14. But if you notice, they're all happening in the second quartet, right? Not the bottom 25%, but the one just above that. So 25 to 50% of the market,
and that's
the $500,000 range.
$500,000 with a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, 5-year-old. Half to 1 acre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1820 square feet-ish.
Yes.
So that we sold 3 of those this week, and we got 7 new ones hitting the market. So there's the inventory for you. Plus, that's the lowest days on market. So I would say that buyers right now are pretty much in that range. I do think that Palmer needs a lot more listings below the 300 mark, because there's buyers just sitting out there waiting that aren't willing to bid prices up. They aren't willing to just pay exorbitant prices.
Well, I'm struck also by that other figure, the median rent at $24,000,
$25,000.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You can't afford to live in Palmer anymore, move into Palmer anymore if you're not high income. It's pretty, that's what I mean by the demographics are changing, right? It's so much more expensive to live here now that the people that can't are moving farther out, and they're still working here. People are commuting here now from Meadow Lakes. It's interesting. Yeah, that's the new kind of commuter zone for the valley, right? And it's growing up out there, too. Pittman, that whole area has got a bunch of big plots of land that just opened up.
So
developers are going to start.
We've got a good picture. You've done a good job with a good picture of what's happening right here in Palmer. We started our conversation today by looking outside. There isn't a lot of building going on inside Palmer. There's... maybe a little bit here and there, but
some.
But just outside, there's a lot of building going on. Does the Palmer effect, so to speak, affect those houses so that they're pretty pricey too?
I think so. Like I mentioned before, some of those neighborhoods have Wasilla addresses in them and Palmer addresses in them,
right?
Which is very interesting. So when you start comparing them with houses in Wasilla, as opposed to comparing them with houses in Palmer, you're going to come up with different numbers. So you got to find comps, kind of a mixture of comps. I like to try to stay in the neighborhood if I can, but if there aren't any sales that happened that year in that neighborhood, I got to move farther out. So I'm looking at a smattering of Wasilla and Palmer listings to try to get good prices on listings now.
So I'm going to ask about 2 other things that we've noticed. In addition to riding bikes up toward Colony, we also rode out around the Butte, and there were 2 things that I've noticed. There was some construction that I noticed out there, not as heavy as Bogard Road and so on. But I also notice that Arctic, as a street, is heavily trafficked.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, where are all those people coming from?
Well, I mean, Lazy Mountain, the Butte, even farther. I've got a listing out on Constitution, which is out by the Tail Race, so it's around the other side of the Butte, right? So there's action pretty much everywhere in Palmer right now.
Okay.
The lots that are, so once you get just past the Butte on Bodenburg Loop there, you get all that land that used to be just kind of opened up.
Oh, sure.
Now those lots are all selling for $80,000 or $90,000 an acre, per acre.
Oh.
And they're throwing houses up on them. So there's people moving out into that area a lot, into that flat area that used to be all farmland. That's Palmer, right?
Yeah. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Scott Blair. We've been talking about how summer seems to be affecting housing sales here. You mentioned briefly their commercial, and I'm aware of 2 commercial lots here in Palmer, one on South Alaska Street, which has a 2-car garage on it. It seemed to be a heavy price there, $300 and some odd thousand for that. And then I also noted that there's an open lot besides building. If you go on Fireweed and you take a right and you're beginning to head toward the junior middle school, there's a big open lot next to a commercial building there. And that's been for sale for a long time.
Actually, it's pending now.
Oh, it is pending?
I have that one under contract, yeah.
Okay. But it took a while. It was out there for a while, or was it not?
Yeah, so that it's all about the situation, right? Commercial is a lot different than residential.
Okay.
First of all, it's all about a numbers game, right? So we're buying – I've got developer clients that are – we're putting in offers on lots, one-acre lots on the Palmer Wasilla for $225,000 because building a commercial property on that lot – still makes sense. You can build a commercial property, rent it out, keep it, and it actually will make money with those prices. So some of these lots that are coming up on the Palmer Wasilla, they are absorbently high, I think. Like the one that's right there by Subway on the corner at Four Corners there, that one is ridiculously high. So commercial is going to be all over the place depending on what the new person that buys it is going to do with that lot.
Okay.
The one that you were mentioned, so the specific situation with that one was on the market for a long time because the seller actually owns the commercial property next door, and he wants to control his neighbor. He doesn't want he wants to make sure he knows what's going to go up there.
Okay.
So that was a whole big, you know, he turned down some buyers because of what they wanted to do. Plus, it needs to be subdivided. So he wants to leave a chunk of land. He wants to sell off a half an acre and leave a half an acre between whatever gets built there and his building. So that for snow, parking, whatever.
Right, all the rest of that. Well, that's
and
a smart
some privacy.
Move.
So that's why that one stayed on the market so long, because he was being really picky with who he picked as a buyer. And I just happened to come up with the right buyer for him. So
Okay, congratulations. Well, what we're doing, though, here now is we're talking about these aren't large commercial pieces. They're in some respects well located. But they're also, and I've mentioned this in a variety of different venues, we have a kind of a situation here with where we are. We're in a studio across from the Palmer Depot, and to the left of us and to the right of us and across the street from us, diagonally, are empty buildings. So these buildings are, at least one or two of them are for lease, and maybe something will be happening soon with them. But that seems to, given what we have been saying about the desirability of Palmer, and we certainly see a lot of residential pressure, there doesn't seem to be as much commercial pressure, or am I wrong in saying that?
Well, yes and no. I don't. It depends on the property again, right? So this one just next door here, that's going to go. It's going to lease up at a low amount because it needs work, right?
Okay.
It needs quite a bit of work.
Okay.
However, the guy that owns that, he also owns the. What do you call it? The little storage units over by the
Jeff
ale
Johnson.
House?
Yeah.
Jeff Johnson. Yep,
and
exactly.
And he's moved those storage houses.
Well, he's tearing them down, and he's going to build a bank over there for Key Bank, and then he's going to build another like commercial triplex that he's going to rent out at like $3 a square foot. So that's high. That's what we're renting at for new construction.
That's a dramatic change in that whole area.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it has been light industrial, if I want to put it that way. You've got Crowley, and then you had all of these storage units, and then...
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, because the ale house over there, you've got a couple of little colony houses that are filled up with businesses, and I've actually got a developer who's looking at that big 2-acre piece of land right across from the ale house for... He wants to develop it, so he wants to put like an apartment building or something, or a storefront with apartments on top or something, right? So that whole area will just totally change. It's going to be part of Palmer.
Wow.
People are going to be walking over there soon and buying stuff.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, because that's and of course Mr. Johnson has done some very interesting work. Obviously rehabbing what had been an auto parts store and having a kind of an emporium move down there, which is well placed to receive visitors crossing the street from Palmer Museum of History and Art, and the bus traffic and all the rest of that. So there's been some Well, that's interesting. Good.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that are doing some. They're movers and shakers in Palmer, but not a ton of.
Okay. Okay, I've got it. So we have not yet talked about the issue of, even though you have a desire, maybe you have a little bit of money, there's the question of mortgage costs. Where are they right now?
Well, we're still sitting hovering around 7%, you know, and that's why I'm getting these, right, we'll get these houses that hit the market at 300,000 and right. Then they'll get like 10 showing requests on the first day, and then they'll get an offer, and then all the showing requests will cancel because they don't want to bid the price up anymore. Unless it's, you know, one of these highly desirable little colony houses, those things go. That one just down the road here had 4 offers in the first day. And I showed it, and we didn't even put in an offer. And that's just what buyers are doing now. They don't really want to bid prices up anymore because they're already high, and the interest rates are high, so the payments are high. So I've got buyers now sitting in my pocket that, like I said, a Palmer needs more listings under 300,000. I would sell those in a heartbeat because people have a monthly payment idea that they want to stay under. And that puts them at like a 275 pre-qualification, which wasn't a bad pre-qualification 4 or 5 years ago. Now there's nothing to buy at that price.
Well, okay. So,
I say nothing, very little.
At the present time, describe for listeners what a $300,000 house would look like in Palmer.
That is what. So I'm flipping houses right now in the little neighborhood over by over off Gulcana, the little over by the schools, the elementary schools over there.
Right.
So that neighborhood I consider pretty well entry level. A lot of the houses in there are small, 1,000 square feet ish, yep. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Right.
Some
very
of them,
familiar with it.
Yep. Most of them have small garages.
Right.
And that's what you're getting for 300 now. I just sold one that was a split level. So it had a 1-car garage. It had 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. It was 2 stories. And then the garage was kind of on the middle level there. And that I sold for $315. It appraised at $316,
wow.
Which is crazy to me because that's an entry-level house in Palmer. That's how much it costs to move here.
So how rapidly are those? They're I'm going to guess about 75 or 80 of those houses in there, maybe more.
Yeah.
Maybe just about 60.
You know, my
80.
Assistant would know that answer.
Yeah.
She does all my mailer campaigns for me. She knows exactly how many houses there.
There's under 100.
Yeah, definitely under 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how rapidly are they turning over?
No, not much. People like to live in that neighborhood.
Huh?
So there aren't a ton of for sale signs in there. There's actually some properties that are, you know, you drive by them and I'm like, you know, that would be a good flip. I'm guessing. So I'm going to start. I got to reach out for my next one now because I just finished one.
Right. Now, within the city of Palmer, there are also, when we're talking about lower cost places, there's just one, to my knowledge, trailer park.
Hmm.
And that's over just south of Arctic there. And I go by there, walk by there quite a bit. There seems to be about 20, maybe 20 trailers.
Yeah, and then there's like a triplex and a fiveplex, I think, on that lot as well.
Yeah, right. But that seems to be, you know, it's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. It's aging. And that's what tends, I guess, to lead to the question of, okay, as it begins to age and the trailers themselves become older and so on, I'm wondering if there's pressure on whoever owns it to convert that.
Absolutely. I think so. In fact, that whole property was for sale a few years back. I haven't checked it lately to see what it's doing, but that was my idea. My thoughts were to pick that thing up, get the trailers out of there, and then put a big apartment building on there.
Sure.
Because that's what we need in Palmer. We need some more lower-end housing.
And to be a higher density for living. And the question would be, I have no idea what it costs to have a trailer there.
I don't either.
Or what it would cost to have a lower-end rental there. But it definitely, Palmer, as you've suggested, does need something of that sort.
Yeah.
Okay. Have I missed any other areas or aspects of of housing in Palmer at the present time, other than the generalization that I've often made, even about the houses you're talking about or by the schools. Each year they're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And those houses were built 50 years ago?
Yeah, in the 70s.
Yep.
77, 78.
Okay, so 50, 55 years ago. And a house, if it has not been renovated at 50 years, probably needs renovation.
They typically need it about once every 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah. We live in a house that was built in 1938.
Yeah.
But it was renovated 20 years ago. And we have done some things since then so that we didn't wait for the 20-year mark to make some things. And some, sure. And the renovation that was done was well done. So much of it is holding out pretty well. We've done some infrastructure pieces, a new high-energy boiler, I don't know, things of that sort. And that's paid off. So we're not looking at having to do a total renovation in the near term by any means. But it requires either doing stuff along the way or you're faced with that.
And then people don't understand that there are things that add a lot of value to a house when you do them. And then there are things that maybe add more value as you're living in it. Like, for example, you upgraded your heating system.
Right.
Well, that when people buy a house, they expect it to have all the systems working.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So if your heating system is old and you upgrade it, it doesn't add a lot of value to the house, but it does when you're living in it because it reduces your costs,
sure.
Your living costs. But as for selling goes, they just expect it to have that stuff already. And if it's old and ancient, then I don't know.
Yeah, it's not as attractive. Well, and
but if you're remodeling bathrooms and kitchens and putting in really fancy, it's just fixtures, light fixtures, faucets, the fancy looking stuff that will sell the house and that'll get you more for it.
And of course, we also have solar panels. We have 16 solar panels, and we also have a auto start backup generator, which feels like it's attractive to people.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It depends on the area, right? A lot of people like the backup generators up here. We have our crazy windstorms in Palmer, and our power gets knocked out, and it's nice if that kicks on. And if you're out of town in the wintertime, your house doesn't freeze up.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a benefit here.
And,
for sure.
And we've been able to upgrade the 220s in our kitchen area, for example. We have an induction stove, so all of that is there, which is and an electric charging station.
See, that might be a selling feature that I would mention, but it wouldn't be anything that would add value to the house, really.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm just, and it's an interesting difference as you're talking about this. What would be a selling feature makes the sale happen
versus a value add,
rather than saying it automatically adds X number of dollars to
it. A lot of things, some things will just attract a buyer, but it won't necessarily make the house more expensive.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground. I've really enjoyed today, Scott, but we have a few moments left for you to share your final observations about where we are here at the end of May in 2025 in downtown Palmer.
All right. Well, the end of May is a lot different than the end of April was. We're picking up good. We've got some market action. So if you're selling, if you have something to sell, it's still a good time to do that. And if you're buying, I would say be patient and reactive unless you're in the, you know, if you're buying under 300,000. If you're buying over 300,000, then just go for it. You got it. There's inventory out there for you.
Okay. All right. Scott, thank you very much. Look forward to you coming back. We'll see what happens as the summer progresses and we're back next month and say, wow, look at this.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Yep. All right. Stay well.
Thanks, Mike.